Hello, and welcome to Philosophy of X here on the Aspect Network. I'm your host, Alex Batz, and I'll be your guide as we take a journey to examine the world of X-Men through philosophy. As you can tell by the title, it's time for our bi-weekly interlude episode. In case you missed it, every 2 weeks we'll be having an interlude episode wherein I dive into the latest two episodes from X-Men 97. For this week, that means I'll be talking about episodes 7 and 8, Bright Eyes and Tolerance is Extinction Part 1. Unlike my reaction to the premiere, and continuing our trend from the last interlude episode, I will not be keeping this completely spoiler-free. So, consider this your spoiler warning for episodes 7 and 8. If you have not watched them, I definitely recommend doing so, they're incredible episodes, before listening to this podcast. Or, if you don't care about spoilers, then of course, carry on. With that, let's get into my thoughts on Bright Eyes and Tolerance is Extinction Part 1. So, first up, we have Bright Eyes. This episode feels almost like an interlude itself. We start things off with the X-Men holding a funeral for Gambit, with Nightcrawler giving an incredible eulogy. It's just a tremendously well-written scene, packed with emotion. Rogue is noticeably absent, which transitions the episode nicely into finding out just what she's up to. She's rampaging across the nation, and later the globe, searching for Gyrick and Trask, the men responsible for these Sentinels. She has a kick-ass action sequence breaking into a military base to get information from General Ross, which then leads her to Captain America. Seeing Captain America show up was pretty epic, but it also led to some discourse about his stance taken here. Rogue is urging him to take a more solid stance in solidarity with mutants, but what she's asking for specifically here is for him to help her on a mission into a foreign country. Cap refuses to do so because of the symbol of America that he is and not wanting to start an international incident. The scene works for multiple reasons, in my opinion. Firstly, it does put some spotlight on the fact that frequently, a lot of the heroes in the Marvel Universe don't do nearly enough to stand beside mutants when they're facing oppression and genocide. It's an important conversation to have, and Rogue standing directly up to Captain America is a great moment for that. There was quite a bit of discourse online, though, that people don't like the Avengers being written out of character in order to prop up the X-Men. I get the sentiment, but that's not what's happening here. People argue that Captain America frequently disobeys the government, so him being steadfast in this episode to do things by the book is out of character. And while it's true that he will frequently disobey the government, he also understands the symbol that he is and what he represents. He doesn't go with Rogue here not because he doesn't agree with her, but because he's smart enough to avoid causing an international incident. He even helps her get the information that she needs. This leads to Rogue finding Gyrick in Mexico and absorbing his memories. Gyrick ends up being killed by a mysterious figure later that night, and meanwhile the X-Men receive a message from Trask who tells them that he is in Madripoor. They pick Rogue up on the way, and the X-Men learn that Sinister and a mysterious OZT division of the UN have been developing a highly advanced Sentinel program. In a dramatic confrontation, Rogue stops Trask from killing himself, and then later drops him to his would-be death moments later. This, however, activates programming that turns him into a human-Sentinel hybrid. A battle ensues, and before Sentinel Trask can defeat the X-Men completely, Cable arrives to save the day. In the closing scene, it's revealed that Bastion is the figure who killed Gyrick. He reveals to Sinister, who is working for Bastion, that Xavier is still alive, and it's also revealed that Magneto survived Genosha and is being held prisoner by Bastion. There's a ton of reveals at the end of this episode, but it served as a great recovery episode from the aftermath of Genosha. Considering that episode 6 didn't really deal with that much at all, we were in space and then with Storm, but it also serves as a stellar primer for the upcoming three-part finale. It sets the stage of grief, rage, and impending doom super well. So that's Bright Eyes. We'll take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be diving into Tolerance is Extinction Part 1.
Hi, my name is Nagin.
And I'm Bree. Enjoying this show on the Aspect Network?
Then check out Viltrumikes, an Invincible podcast.
Each week, we go back and discuss your favorite episodes of the series and review new episodes as they release right on Amazon Prime.
Join us as we travel space, time, and the multiverse with Mark Grayson and discuss one of the most exciting superhero series on TV on Viltrumikes, here on the Aspect Network.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. So next up, we have Tolerance is Extinction, part one of three. So this is it, the beginning of the three-part finale, and holy hell, it brings the heat. I'm gonna bullet point the episode's plot real quick and then just kind of gush about it, to be honest. The UN reveals that Xavier is still alive, using footage from his and Lilandra's ceremony, which is definitely a part of Operation Zero Tolerance's plan to sway public opinion back against mutants. Cable explains to the X-Men that Genosha is a, quote, absolute point, end quote, in time, and that every time he's attempted to time travel to thwart it, he's pulled back. So there will be no time travel rewrites to undo what happened with Genosha. He then reveals that Bastion will use Genosha to start a 300-year war that will lead to the enslavement of mutants in a human utopia. Following a lead from the future, Cyclops, Jean, and Cable travel to Harmony, Pennsylvania, where they meet Bastion's mom and learn that he was conceived after his father was infected with a techno-organic virus, creating a human-machine hybrid that's more evolved than the Sentinels, Master Mold, and Nimrod. Bastion reveals to Valerie Cooper that he is turning humans into Prime Sentinels. Prime Sentinels then activate around the world and begin attacking mutants. They capture Sunspot and Jubilee and burn down Xavier's school. Cooper ends up releasing Magneto, who uses his Omega-level abilities to shut down all of the Prime Sentinels across the globe, and soon after that, Xavier returns to Earth, and the episode ends with him summoning the X-Men. So, yeah, that all happened. This episode is nuts, the show is nuts, we are fed so well here, honestly. The show is pretty top tier in spending the first 10 or so minutes of episodes as like a calm before the storm, giving us the exposition we need without it ever feeling too heavy-handed. It just always feels natural. And then it all hits the fan in the back half and we get some unreal action. Bastion's backstory is cool and he has a sweet Man of Steel homage going on there. We get Summer's family bonding, which is both endearing and heartbreaking. We get Nightcrawler being the best brother to Rogue, who is out of action for this episode. And then things break out into just complete chaos. Summer's family action, Wolverine and Nightcrawler tag teaming, Wolverine getting his solo moment. We get Bamfing from inside the Bamf, which was just absolutely next level. The animation in the show is just consistently top tier. There are a ton of cameos. Dr. Doom shows up, Omega Red, possibly Madam Mask or Madam Hydra. She's kind of in shadow, so we don't know exactly who. Spider-Man shows up for a second, which is insane. Polaris shows up in the future timeline, which I completely flipped my lid over. Rachel Summers also appears in that future timeline little glimpse thing. The show does an exceptional job of nostalgia and reference bait that feels like it's not just jingly keys, because it puts the effort into the main story being so damn good. The writing is just incredible, and the speeches, God, the speeches. The episode is capped by a speech from Val Cooper talking about Genosha, about how horrible and devastating it was, but not once did she feel surprised by it, and it just hits. It's such a good speech. She ends with saying that Magneto was right, and I nearly left my body. It's too good. And then seeing why Magneto is an Omega-level mutant, single-handedly shutting down the entire Prime Sentinel threat, saying enough, it's the best. It's simply too good. Granted, him saying enough as opposed to no more was a choice. If you know, you know, but maybe they're saving that for later down the line. As an aside, Scott calling Xavier a great father was hilarious. Like, Charles Xavier, the Charles Xavier, a good father, I have to laugh. But he shows up at the end and we get the iconic, to me, my X-Men, setting up the continuation of this arc for part two next week, which means I'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the full finale and the ending of this season. I am anxious in every sense of the word, but that closes out my thoughts on these two episodes. Absolute bangers. This is certified the best thing the Marvel Studios has put out. I don't care if this is partly hype talking. It's so good. It's unbelievable. Watch the show. The X-Men hype surrounding this fills me with so much joy, and I'm just so glad that it exists and that it's this level of greatness. It's the best. So yeah. Thank you so much for tuning into this interlude episode of Philosophy of X, and being sure to bring your metal detectors once again next week as we finally return for part three of our discussions on the Master of Magnetism with Magneto and the Ethics of Mutant Liberation, part three. You can find me online at APBatman with two T's, and please be sure to subscribe here to The Aspect on YouTube and any platform where podcasts can be found. Please give us a like, leave a comment, and turn on the notification bell so that you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok at The Aspect Co. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.